Brought to you by IBMPressBooks.com, part of the On Podcast Network at informit.com/podcasts.
Welcome to the IBM podcast series with Sandy Carter. Sandy Carter is Vice President, SOA and WebSphere Strategy, Channels and Marketing at IBM, where she's responsible for driving IBM's cross-company worldwide SOA marketing initiatives, and in this role helps oversee the company's SOA strategy across software, services, and hardware, and sets the company's SOA marketing direction. Sandy has played a critical role in helping to identify SOA acquisitions targets and ensure the successful integration of these organizations into the IBM SOA portfolio. Additionally, she directs SOA messaging and content, leading a global team in driving customer demand for IBM and IBM business partner SOA solutions. Sandy holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Math and Computer Science from Duke University and an MBA from Harvard. She is the author of The New Language of Business, SOA and Web 2.0, published in 2007, and the author of the upcoming book due to publish in 2008 called The New Language of Marketing, Screaming Angels, both published by IBM Press. My name is Greg Wiegand, and I am an associate publisher for Pearson Education and editor-in-chief for IBM Press. This is the first in a series of three podcasts with Sandy. In this podcast, we will overview Sandy's book, The New Language of Business, SOA and Web 2.0, and get some background on her inspiration for the book. We'll also talk about some of the business and technology drivers impacting the industry today and how SOA and Web 2.0 can be critical for a company's success. Welcome, Sandy.
Thanks so much, Greg. I appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about your book. Sandy, if you could give us a brief introduction about yourself, your expertise, and some of your experience, and maybe some of the current projects that you've got going on.
Sure. So I have been with IBM for a long time, probably longer than I want to say, for about 18 years. And back in 2005, we noticed several trends occurring in the marketplace and a greater need for both agility and cost cutting. And we saw how much value service-oriented architecture was providing to a set of customers, some of our early adopters. So back in 2005, we really started on a march around service-oriented architecture, really driven, Greg, by the value that we saw it bringing to our customers, both, again, in terms of agility and the ability to reuse what they currently had in their environment. So this book is really written and dedicated to our customers who, I think, especially in today's flat world, are all focusing on either both of these areas or one of these areas more than the other right now.
That's great. And Sandy, can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write the book and a little bit about who it's geared towards and what you think folks will learn from it?
Sure. So the inspiration of the book, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. I have a list of a top 100 things I want to do in my life, and writing a book was one of those. And unfortunately, I broke my ankle, and I had a lot of time. And so, Greg, you and your team approached me about writing a book on SOA based on some of the work that we had done with customers. And so, you know, the book is really geared for those customers who are beginning their SOA journey, for those who have started and wanted to take it to the next step. It is written at a high level, so if a listener is a very deep-dive technologist, they would get value out of the book in seeing how the business side and the IT manager or director side view what's happening in the business, what's happening in technology. Business leaders can get a really good feel for the value that SOA and Web 2.0 can play in their environment. And I've had many CIOs and IT directors say that they use it as a handbook to go back to refer to, okay, you know, what were those entry points? How do I get started? And also, given that there are 55 case studies, I even had one analyst firm send me a note that says he keeps it on his shelf just to reference case studies to learn what other customers are doing.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you wrote about in the book, specifically a little bit about some of the business and technology drivers that are in the industry today. Why do you think SOA is a critical business and IT play for companies today?
Well, you know, this to me is the critical difference in SOA than other, approaches that we've seen in the past. SOA is very much a part of the heart and soul of a business and therefore of their IT organization as well. And the reason, Greg, is that service-oriented architecture begins with the S, with the service. And a service is a business task. So you really can't do SOA or use SOA as an approach without having that business mindset and thinking through your processes and where your business is going. That said, it drives or helps to accelerate the alignment of business and IT that we've been talking about for a long time. And in fact, I was just reading a report. McKinsey and the London School of Economics did a study on, you know, focusing on just IT, just business, or the alignment, this accelerated alignment play that SOA plays such a critical role in. And they found in doing a very deep study of 100 customers that those customers who focus just on IT as a driver of innovation and productivity improvement, that those companies who focus just on IT will see about a 2% increase in their business productivity and their innovation. Those companies who focus just on the business side will see 8% potential increase, and those are kind of best of breed companies. But those companies who focus on that business and IT partnership, that alignment, they see 20% increase. So it's definitely not additive. It's definitely almost double the value that a company can see, double the amount of competitiveness as you focus on that alignment. And that is exactly what SOA does. It serves as a lever, as a driver to get IT and business together, and really requires them, for the approach to be successful, requires them to work in a partnership.
So it's definitely a critical play for businesses today.
Absolutely. And in fact, in today's environment, Greg, you know, with what's happening, you know, with the dynamics and ups and downs in the marketplace, it's even more important to get that alignment right so you stay in sync and you can move very quickly.
So one of the other big buzzwords out in the industry today is the concept of Web 2.0, and I know your book does cover that. How exactly do you see SOA and Web 2.0 working together?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is one, in fact, I was on Wall Street yesterday for a lot of financial markets companies, and this came up again. There is such power in leveraging Web 2.0 and SOA. First, though, let me just pause because I know everybody has a definition of what Web 2.0 is. And for us at IBM, Web 2.0 is simply technology that allows businesses to interact with their customers in a collaborative way, in an efficient way, and allows business users the ability to create their own composite applications or their own capabilities to accomplish their business tasks. It does that with a set of technologies that many of you probably have heard about, PHP, AJAX, RSS feeds, REST. And so it does provide functionality to the user, really around consumability and usability. Now, SOA, as we just talked through, what SOA does is it provides a foundation for flexibility and for robustness. There aren't too many companies that don't want a robust infrastructure as they have applications that are mission critical. And so the power of both together is that it allows you to have the robustness of SOA, the flexibility of SOA, with the consumability and the usability of Web 2.0. So I think this combination, SOA and Web 2.0, not one or the other, but both, is really going to be the new language of business. So, you know, if you think through it, RESTful SOA or Web 2.0 and SOA provide a way to combine the infrastructure, the services, with this collaborative nature of Web 2.0. And a great example, you know, we could talk through is when Katrina happened in the United States, the city had wanted us to help with, you know, a big jobs bank. How could we get jobs out in front of people who were now without jobs in New Orleans because of the tragedy that occurred? And so very quickly on the front end, we built a Web 2.0 interface that allowed New Orleans city officials to mash up or to combine different areas of job interest to change what the focus was on a daily basis on the front end. But obviously, with the number of people hitting that site on the back end, We wrapped information as a service, and we leveraged the robustness of an enterprise service bus to ensure that we retain the flexibility and the scalability behind the front of the glass experience. So I really do think it's the power of the combination of the two that helps customers today see the reality of flexibility and consumability in their marketplace.
Another concept, Sandy, that you talk about in the book is something called the innovation imperative. What do you mean by that? What are you talking about there?
Yeah, so, you know, Greg, we just did a CEO study, and in that CEO study, it's the world's largest study of CEOs. There are about 1,000 CEOs around the world who participate, small companies, large companies, and their number one focus, so these are, you know, men and women who run the companies around the world, their number one focus was innovation. How do I innovate? And for me, the innovation imperative was the ways that they wanted to innovate that had changed over time that they thought were required to give them competitiveness in the new flat world. One of those was around collaboration for new ideas to innovate. And it was surprising in the study that CEOs expected as many innovative ideas to come from outside of their four walls as from inside of their four walls. You know, kind of changing the paradigm of where you see ideas coming from. You know, example, Sam Palmisano, our CEO for IBM, hosted a jam. And this jam was a major chat session where we got feedback and ideas, not only from our employees, but from families of employees, from our partners, and from our customers. And that's what I'm talking about with collaboration for innovation inside and outside of your four walls. The other imperative around innovation that we saw from CEOs was the business model focus. In the past, Greg, and you know, you and I probably know this from working in industry for a while, innovation was seen as what's the next product coming out? What's your next feature? What's your next service?
Yeah.
But these CEOs said, you know, it's gone beyond that. We're really looking for business model innovation, business process innovation. How can you improve the process so that gives you a competitive advantage? And we have, you know, many great examples, you know, in the world today. Apple is one. They changed the entire business model. You know, it wasn't the MP3 player or the iPod that made them so successful. It was their business model change of iTunes and their retail stores that really drove that success. Another example, a small company in Romania, they actually patented some of their process ideas around how to manufacture in Romania blue jeans and denim. And what it did was the process was much more efficient, much more effective, and made them more competitive, that they actually patented the process and put the process, not just the product, but the process on their balance sheet. And so CEO said that more and more of that will be occurring. And then finally, information. I mean, who doesn't get bombarded with thousands of pieces of information a day? And I was thinking the other day, you know, we did a memorial for someone, and they did a minute of silence. And I thought, how impactful that in honor of someone, it's silence. It's, you know, you're not bombarded with information. People, you know, really reflect in a moment of silence. And it's the same for corporations. How do you get silence for a moment that you can pause and look at your information and look at it in such a way that you can not only see thousands of pieces of information but make better business decisions because you have that information? And so this innovation imperative, top of mind for CEOs, 78% said that they will have business and IT work on innovation initiatives together, and 87% of CEOs, imagine that, 87% said over the next 2 years that they expect to see massive change in their organizations around the innovation imperative.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. Sandy, I know in the book you talk about creating and building the flexponsive business. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by a flexponsive business or how to create a flexponsive business?
Sure. So with that innovation imperative in mind, Greg, that we just talked through, flexponsive, while a made-up word, and I know some people aren't fans of made-up words, but to me, in the next generation, the value of being flexponsive is a company that has attributes of where they can not only respond, but they can respond with speed, They can do it in an agile manner. They can anticipate what might happen and also respond to what happens in the business or in the environment. You know, based on looking at what the CEO said, that they expect major change in the next, 2 years, and they want it to happen through collaborative means, through business models, through information. The only way a company can function in that world is to be able to do it in a flexible manner. And that's why in the book I talk a lot about a flexponsive company, which I believe will be a new breed of company that will emerge to tackle the flat world. And I think flexponsive companies will be those companies that do survive as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. That wraps up our first podcast in the series of three with Sandy Carter. The next episode will cover what SOA means for organizations of all sizes all over the world and what are the growth opportunities for SOA. Our final episode with Sandy will have her demonstrate some of her most interesting customer experiences as they relate to SOA and Web 2.0. Once again, this podcast series is brought to you by IBM Press. For more information on IBM Press, go to www.ibmpressbooks.com.